And guys,
and welcome back to Tales Beyond the Bench with Nyasha
and Rafi.
Today we have a very special guest for you guys. Rafi, do you want to introduce him?
Yes, we have Mr. Stu Smith. Mr. Stu Smith, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hey, my name is Stu Smith. I am a former Navy SEAL, graduated the Naval Academy. That's where Rafaela found me. And during the summer seminar, I was able to do a group workout session with those folks, and it was a lot of fun. So I was a Navy SEAL for like 8 years, and after I got out and started working out and writing about it. So I am a fitness writer. So I have over 1,000 articles out there on the internet and magazines, and also some books as well. That
very
focus,
cool.
Yeah, focus on tactical fitness.
Nice. Now, Rafi, you did this workout. You did yes. these workouts. How was that?
It was very intense, but I didn't give up. So that's good.
You got through it?
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah. the plank got me. The 10-minute plank and 5 push-ups.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, something I call death by push-ups, which yeah. actually, if I think about it, probably a bit better named death by plank, because it's a 10-minute plank, but every minute on the minute, you have to do 5 to 10 push-ups, whatever you're capable of doing. And
oh, my gosh.
And it's tough. It's a tough little workout.
Yep.
That does sound tough. Okay, so you said you went to the Naval Academy. Is that where you went for college?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Nice. So what drove you to become a Naval SEAL?
Well, you know, when I first was your age, in high school, I saw Top Gun, the original, and I was like, I want to be a Navy pilot. That sounds really cool. And so I started doing my research, and I was also recruited for football, and I was like, oh man, you kidding me? I can play football and be a pilot. Go to the school. Mm-hmm. Everything was just working out.
Yeah.
And so that was what I put all my effort into, you know, sophomore, junior year and senior year, and was lucky enough to get accepted into the academy and graduated in 1991.
Nice.
Now, I wanted to be a pilot, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you make plans and God laughs. And so he had a different plan for me. So I wound up not playing football and not becoming a pilot. And I played rugby and became a Navy SEAL when I graduated.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay. So are there many career opportunities available within like the Navy SEALs?
Well, when you're a Navy SEAL, there are many jobs that you could do. Mm-hmm. However, you're always a Navy SEAL regardless of what job you do, but you know, you can have specialties like diving and learn how to dive, you know, using mini subs off of big submarines and be a master at that. Or you could be jumping out of planes and free falling, and you know, you can do you know, be a master of, you know, shooting and moving and be that kind of an instructor to the younger SEALs, you know. So it really kind of depends on how long you stay in. I mean, you can mm-hmm. stay in for 30 years if you choose. And, but you know, after probably 15, you're mm-hmm. starting to be a little more in the advanced age where you become more of a teacher and leader versus actually doing the operations, because it really is a younger person's job that you know, when you're doing, you know, these kind of special ops activities. So however, there are a few guys in their 40s and 50s still getting after it and doing it. So yeah, they're kind of unicorns in the community, but they're remarkable people.
Wow.
And you say the community, is it a very tight-knit community?
Yes. Anywhere, you know, anytime during the year, it's probably around 2,200, maybe 2,500 active duty SEALs in the entire Navy.
Wow.
So it's pretty small community. I mean, it's big enough to where you may not know everybody, but it's still pretty tight knit too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So being a SEAL, what kind of, like, generally speaking, what type of compensation and benefits do they receive?
Well, you get the regular Navy salary, and then everybody, depending on where you live, you get a variable housing allowance, which can be significant. I mean, it can be an additional $25,000 to your annual paycheck, you know, mm-hmm. just to pay for houses. And that's an allowance that's not taxed. So when you look at all the pay scales, you'll say, wow, people in the military don't make a lot of money. But then, you know, that's not including variable housing allowance and basic allowance for subsistence, you know, which is basically food. And then the SEALs also get jump pay, dive pay, hazardous duty pay.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts to add up. And if you're proficient in a language, you know, you get a language bonus, language right. salary.
That's cool.
You know, so it really depends on, you know, how long you've been in, because you're going to make more the longer you're in. But, you know, a lot of the salaries that you, if you were to look at it on the regular pay scale, you're like, oh my gosh, how do you live off this? But
right.
you know, it's probably three times that much whenever you do the math for your actual take-home pay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, like, how do you prepare mentally for SEAL training? I know, like, when I went to the academy, the midshipman, my squad leader, was talking about how, like, hard plebe summer is. I can't, like, imagine, like, how hard, like, SEAL training is.
Well, you know, everything's relative. You know, when I mm-hmm. went through plebe summer, it was probably one of the hardest things I've done, mainly because I was a football player, not in military shape. And I tell people this all the time. I failed my first fitness test when I showed up at the Naval Academy because, be honest with you, I was kind of overconfident in my abilities. And I was like, oh, sit-ups. Yeah, no problem. I can pass sit-ups. You know, but I never really practiced them. I never really learned how to take a sit-up test, you know, and learn how to pace myself. So, you know, I was a failure right out of the gate just because I wasn't really prepared. You know, preparing yourself mentally also has a lot to do with preparing yourself so well physically that through that physical preparation, you've built some confidence in your abilities and your, and just yourself. You've become consistent with your training. So you've gained some new discipline, you know, so all of those things come into play whenever you are talking about building mental toughness. I think the catalyst to building mental toughness is through physical preparation.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, speaking of mental toughness, what about mental health? I know mental health must be a challenge, especially when you're putting your body through all that, like, physical, it's through a physical challenge. So how do you deal with mental health?
Well, it's really all about stress mitigation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, the physical stress is one thing. The emotional stress is another, whenever you see things that are just tough to see, you know, whether you are experiencing, you know, death around you or people really hurt around you. You know, those things can be fairly traumatic, and dealing with that, you know, requires you to talk through it and to also breathe and to reduce anxiety through maybe box breathing or just getting out and doing something that can help you physically metabolize some of that stress that's building up, whether that's just a walk, you know, that's kind of low stress relieving, doing some hobbies that can also be stress relieving, You just have to stay actively pursuing your recovery methods, which all have to do, if you really want to mitigate stress, you have to take into account the ability to sleep well, to eat well, to exercise, not to extremes, but to make it more of a stress reducing activity.
Mm-hmm.
And then just talk it out, you know, about what happened, and, you know, talk with your buddies, and I think that is a good way to stay on top of, you know, the mental health challenges that many people in the tactical professions have, whether it's military, law enforcement, firefighters, special ops, medics, you know, all of those folks see really tough things to see, and to handle. And, you know, it takes a great amount of balance in all of those things that I just mentioned to be able to stay on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. What do you want our generation to know about, like, enlisting, or whether it's going to the academy? What do you want us to, like, know?
Good question. My recommendation is to serve because you want to serve your country. You may not exactly know how you're going to serve. I mean, that's kind of like myself. You know, I knew when I was a young kid that I wanted to be in the military, but I didn't know what job I wanted to do in the military. And, you know, when you have 4 years at the academy to be exposed to all the different opportunities after graduating, like the Marine Corps or Navy, or be on a ship or fly planes or fly helicopters, or, you know, do something else. You know, you can be a, you know, a doctor. You can, you know, you do so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, logistics and, you know, things like that. So my recommendation is to have a real yearning to serve your country in some mm-hmm. fashion. And then from there, take a look at all the different things that just kind of interest you, right? So, you know, for me, it was always something, you know, either fast or something with guns and airplanes and explosives. I mean, it was always something that was always kind of intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was luckily enough to be able to serve in that capacity. But it, you know, it can be anything. I mean, there's people that are just great linguists, you know, that know a couple of foreign languages, and they go and they're serving their country as an interpreter, or someone who's really good at medical and, you know, wants to be an EMT, and then they decide to join the military and become a combat medic, or then they become a doctor. You know, so there's the cool thing about the military that I want everybody to know is that if you go in there, there are always ways to progress to the next level, whether that is through education, it is through ranks, it is through another job within the military. You know, you're not stuck at one thing. You know, you know, that's the great thing about even living in the same town. You won't be stuck living in the same town forever. You know, you mm-hmm. bounce around and things change, and you have to be fairly adaptable to that. But at the same time, that can be very exciting for people because, you know, it's not uncommon to change your profession three or four times within the military, and then maybe even a couple more times after you've served in the military.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you, I don't know if this is too personal. If it's too personal, you do not have to answer it. If you have a family that was, like, with you throughout while you were a SEAL, how did they deal with, like, the stressors of having someone in their family be a Navy SEAL?
Good question. I started dating my now wife in 1990. So I graduated in 91 from the academy, went to SEAL training in 91, graduated SEAL training in 92. And then I was in the SEAL teams until 99. And we got married in 94. And we've been married ever since. You know, it was a good learning experience for both of us, you know, and I think the thing that was very helpful for my girlfriend, fiance, wife, was that she kind of learned the process along with me.
Right.
Now for my other family, my mom and dad and, you know, siblings and, you know, other extended family.
Yeah.
You know, just keeping in touch with them was very important, you know, just to let them know, hey, I was safe, you know, that they didn't need to worry about me. And I think, you know, just that communication worked really well, because I had both of my grandfathers were in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it was always cool to talk to them about some of the things I was doing. And, you know, they give me advice, you know, they were both in World War II. And, you know, so it was all about making sure you stayed proactive with communicating to them, because if you don't, then it can become a pretty big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you talked about specialties earlier. Did you have a specialty that you would like to share with us?
You know, I would say my specialty that I learned in the military was probably more diving related and mm-hmm. swimming related. And to this day, if there's something that I do well, it's swimming and diving, or okay. coaching someone in swimming, you know, especially the special ops type strokes that are needed, you know, from underwater swimming to the combat side stroke, you know, swimming with fins in open water, you know, all of those things I somehow took a liking to and uh-huh. got pretty good at them. In fact, my TikTok is nothing but me teaching people how to swim.
Oh, you have a TikTok?
Yeah, I do.
You want to share the TikTok with me?
Yeah, it's real easy. Stu Smith 50. So it's Stewsmith 50. And it's just me doing voiceover critiques of submitted videos of fixing people's swim.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, it's a really good use of technology. My Instagram's the same thing, you know, with other things as well. And that's the same address as well, StuSmith50. And so, you know, the cool thing about, you know, being a coach is that, you know, technology enables you to now, you know, reach a lot more people than mm-hmm. just, you know, having your own gym or something. You know, I have, you know, capability through YouTube and, you know, the internet makes it, you know, definitely more popular, as well as just get more people out there that could be interested in these jobs that really there's not a lot of information about, you know, how to actually prepare for them.
Yeah.
All right. What was the most challenging thing you faced, like, in the military?
Fitness thing?
Whatever yeah, we can thing. Go with that. It could be fitness. It could be mentally. It could be like relationships. Whatever.
Yeah, I'd probably have to say, you know, there's without a doubt, it's, you know, going through, you know, Hell Week. Though there were times when I was glad I went through Hell Week, you know, when I was active duty, because I had something to, you know, pull on. Like, hey, I'm prepared for this because this I did it once before. But Hell Week's 120 straight hours of being awake.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so that's 5 days if you do the math. And you know, you're just constantly moving and mm-hmm. it's tough. And you're moving with boats on your heads, or you're paddling the boats, or you're swimming, you're always wet and sandy. You're running around, trying to do some things, but probably by Wednesday, everybody's kind of like stumbling around like they're half asleep. You hallucinate while you're, you know, after Wednesday of Hell Week that starts on mm-hmm. a, you know, Sunday night. And basically what that is, what I realized I was doing is I was actually dreaming while my eyes were open.
Mm-hmm.
And it was superimposing my dreams over reality,
mm-hmm.
which was really weird. So whatever I was thinking in my head, I could see it, you know, on reality. It was weird. So that was my just physically and mentally just trying to push myself through that, as well as, you know, your team that you're going through it with. And that was a pretty tough challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And put it this way, there was just nothing that I've ever done that prepared me for that.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. I mean, I've done hard things before, but, you know, it's kind of like the ultimate challenge of, all right, let's see if I can do this. And then from then on, you know, I'll be honest with you, life's easy.
Yeah.
You know, I can always say, well, I've been through worse, you know, and I can get through this.
Do a lot of people quit during Hell Week?
Yeah. In fact, most classes typically have anywhere between 75 to 85% attrition. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, we started off with 120 and we finished with 28.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was That was a tough one. So, there are a lot of people that didn't make it. Yeah.
That's really puts it in perspective.
Yeah. I tell you what, a recent class had, they started with 150 and just finished Hell Week 4 weeks later now. This is 4 weeks, and Buds is 26 weeks long. And they had 9 people that finished.
Oh, wow.
They went from 150 to 9 in 4 weeks.
And do you get after Hell Week, do you get a couple days to just sleep, or is
you get the weekend, but then you also get the next week's pretty easy on you.
Okay.
I mean, you're not running at all. You're just kind of, you're wearing sneakers and nursing your wounds that you have, because you have a lot of chafing and things like that. That's, you know,
that sounds like hell. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Well, it was. It was.
Wow. So you said that you have a TikTok.
Yeah.
Is this TikTok just do you solely use TikTok for your TikTok purposes, or do you ever just find yourself scrolling on TikTok? Because I've been noticing that a lot of this in the very respect, a lot of older people, older than me, I mean.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not.
I've been using TikTok more often and I've been enjoying it.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
So do you use it just for the swimming videos, or do you ever just find yourself just scrolling on TikTok?
Yeah, I scroll on it as well. My wife does, and she finds all kinds of great stuff for our decorating and just hacks that are out there that are pretty amazing. I like it for, you know, sometimes you get some of the news, especially some of the Ukrainian Russian news that's occurring. You can find some really cool updates and maps of Ukraine and what's happening, and you know, so I like to watch some of those videos as well.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, TikTok's a very good platform. It has its flaws, but
oh sure,
it is a good platform for different people because of the way it's the algorithm. So different people can see what they need to see.
Yeah.
So your wife, for example, is seeing these decorating videos. You might be seeing these military more bat
videos. Yeah. Yeah,
so
makes sense.
It's just, I like how it is very personalized.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Stu, I think we're going to wrap it up, but I just want to thank you so much for coming on.
Sure.
Is there any other final things you'd like to tell the people?
Well, my first thing is, you know, good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Your journey, wherever you decide you want to go. I know this time in, you know, your high school life is stressful and, you know, trying to figure out what's next. So, keep working hard. And I tell this to everybody, you know, just keep working hard and find something that interests you and go after it like nobody's business, and don't stop.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.